So tonight, I guess you guys were told that I'm going to be talking about grace. I was actually told that we preferred if I did not talk about grace, so that we kind of didn't beat the dead horse kind of thing and bore you guys to death. So I kind of want to give you guys a maybe a look, just kind of explain a bit that's been going on in my life in the past month or so, and just kind of just show the hand of God in my life, and eventually tie that back into grace. So I guess I will kind of be talking about grace eventually, and give a little application at the end of this. So the last month for me, I was at camp for 13s, 14s. I counseled for the week there. And then from then on till probably about a week or two ago, has actually been a pretty tough month for me spiritually. I would say my desire to conduct a relationship with God was almost completely gone. And one thing I've learned is that when there's a distance between you and God, and there's a distance in your relationship with God, it's, especially in my life, it's usually, or almost always, it's my fault, right? It's not God's fault. It's either, well, in this case, my disinterest, or a lack of effort, or a lack of faith, or questioning, or doubt, or just something that separates you separating yourself from God. And me this past month was me separating myself from God, but God showing, and I'm going to give a couple examples of God, how when I'm not interested, how God still shows that he's still interested in the relationship, and how God's hand is still in my life. So I guess just give a few examples. And these might seem, yes, really small and maybe silly to some people, but it's just been God kind of poking at me and just kind of being like, hey, Jaden, you know, I'm still here, right? You still have a relationship with me. I'm going to show you like what I can do and put you in situations that you wouldn't expect, or give you opportunities that you wouldn't expect. And just continually poking at me and just, you know, saying, you know, I'm still here, right? And you need to be having a relationship with me continually. So this first example, about a month ago, I was at work and I was listening to a Rick Warren sermon on prayer. And he was talking about how we include God and we talk to God about the big decisions in our life and the big things, but not necessarily the small things or the daily decisions or the things that we would consider maybe insignificant. And he was giving examples like maybe when you're going to talk to somebody, just asking God, like, should I actually have this conversation with this person? Or maybe what should I wear? What should I make for supper? Like, we generally, or at least I don't generally tend to consider God in those decisions. And it just seems, maybe other people do, but it just seems that I hadn't thought of that before, just including God in those really little things in your life. So that day after work, I was planning on going to get groceries. And I usually take a list of things that I need, but today, or that day, I did not have a list of things, so I really didn't know what I needed, but I guess I just didn't think beforehand. But so after listening to that message at work, I went to the grocery store, and I was like, okay, I guess I learned something, maybe apply it to my life. It's like, okay, God, just kind of started talking. It's like, I don't know what I need, but you do, right? So I just kind of walk through the grocery store, I guess. And if you've experienced this, maybe just having a conversation with God and just talking to him. I was just, you know, what do I need? I don't really know. I only remember a few things. So as I'm walking through the grocery store, things would start just coming to my mind, things that I need. Like, oh, okay, yeah, I need mayonnaise. So go to the mayonnaise aisle. Mayonnaise is on sale. Like, great. Put it in the cart. And then, like, okay, oh, right, Major finished the cheese. We need cheese. So go to the cheese aisle. Cheese is on sale. Perfect. Put it in the cart. Like, oh, okay, I need macaroni noodles. Macaroni, 2 for $3. Perfect. Go put it in the cart. And just to be honest, that happened. I was probably in there 20, 25 minutes, and it was just like that constantly. Just things just coming to my mind that I needed. I'm like, oh, right, I need this. And every time, it was on sale. And it seems, even to me explaining it, it seems like a silly example. But at the time, I was just like, you know, that's God. Like, just showing me, hey, just poking at me, you know, I'm here, I can do this. If you just kind of ask me, just include me in this stuff, and you'll see what I can do. Another example, when I was at Holland College, I bought these two big binders. They're in the National Building Code, and it was about, I don't know, if I'm remembering right, I think it was about $300 for the two books, for the two binders. And we needed them for our second year, and the kids that were in my class, we're selling them to the students in second year this year. We're selling them to them, and most of the kids in my class are selling them for about $100 or something, just giving them to them, save a little money for them. And I was like, you know, I could be a good guy. I'll give it to this guy for $60. So I was in my car, and I was driving over to just to sell this kid my building code. And my hand came off the steering wheel and went in my jacket pocket. I don't know why, but now, of course, I have tracks in my jacket pocket. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I get the point, right? Like, feel the tracks. I'm like, okay, you want me to share with this guy? I'll sell him the books, share with this guy, give him the tracks. So then, as soon as I kind of realized that, and one thing I've learned lately is that God will speak to you in thoughts and not necessarily, well, never experienced to me, never audibly. And I've heard a preacher say once that, or someone asked a question, why doesn't God speak to me audibly? And he's like, well, why would God speak to you through your ear when he can go straight to your head? Right? That it just makes sense that he speak to you in thoughts. So as soon as my hand goes in my pocket, I feel the tracks, like, hey, I got to share with this guy. And then I had this thought, and obviously this is God, because I wouldn't think of this. He says, you're going to give him the tracks, you're going to give him the books for free, tell him it's a gift, tell him what you believe, that Jesus Christ gave himself as a gift for you, and give him the tracks. So that, like, it's a perfect, I mean, I got to do it. Like, it's a perfect thing to say. In a situation, I couldn't think of that myself, right? And it's just another little poke, like, you're going to be in this situation, here's exactly what you're supposed to do with it. I'm just like, yeah, okay. And I did that. I don't know whatever happened after that kid. I gave him the tracks, told him, but gave him the books for free. I don't know what happened, but. And then third example, I was in Cape Breton 2 weeks ago, and something happened that I was not expecting, and I guess you could say it provoked emotions that I wasn't expecting and that I couldn't really explain or didn't really understand how to deal with. And I guess you could say I was emotionally frozen at the time would be the best way I could explain it. And in that situation, it just so happened that I was in Cape Breton. I was in my car alone with an older guy that I trust and I've been building a relationship with, and him and his wife are two people, a few people that I know that have experienced the exact same thing. So at that time, I just had 2 or 3 hours just to talk and pray with them and just kind of deal with this. And they kind of just kind of like talked me, walked me through it, and we prayed and stuff. And that was just, it was really clear to me at the time that that was God saying, like, yeah, this is going to happen, but I'm going to put you in the perfect spot for you to be able to deal with it, right? And that was just another thing of God just being like, here, I'm here, and even though you're not interested, I still am, and I'm going to show you that I still care about your life. So all those examples, for me, in this past month, me just being kind of distant from God and disinterested, the hand of God in my life, it shows, and as we learned tonight, that grace is an attribute of God, and how we're saved by grace, and God poured his grace through the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, but he's also pouring out his grace on us continually in our lives all the time, and just by having his hand in our life, just the fact that we're all still alive is the grace of God, right? So if you want to turn to Romans 6, I'm going to read just 2 or 3 verses. And I'm reading from my nice new Romans journaling book, by the way. Romans 6, verse 1 says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who have died to sin still live in it?" And then verse 14 and 15. "For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. What then, are we to sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means." So basically what this is saying is, God is continually pouring out his grace on us, and we're living under the grace of God. We're saved by grace. We're not under the law. We're under grace now. But that doesn't mean that we can be living in sin and accept that and be walking in sin and just kind of, you know, standing in this shower of grace and just trying to soak up as much of this unlimited grace as possible just because our lives are so dirty, right? That's not the way we're supposed to be living. So we can see the grace of God and how it's unlimited and how he's continually pouring out all this grace on our lives and on the lives of others. And he saved us through grace on the cross and saved others by grace on the cross. We can accept this and just soak up as much grace as possible, like I said, because we're sinning so much and we're not trying to do anything. We're just, God's grace is so good, right? Or we can see the grace of God, and I think it's in Ephesians, it says, "Be imitators of God," is what Paul said. And as grace is an attribute of God, through the Holy Spirit, we can adopt grace as an attribute in our own lives and be continually pouring out the grace of God and love on other people in our lives. And what that looks like is forgiveness, service, generosity, love, tolerance, just all these things that we can be pouring out on other people, on unbelievers, on sinners. And if we read through the Gospels, we can see the life of Christ and see how he poured out grace on people continually. And if we look in our own lives, we can see how God's pouring out his grace on us continually, and just seeing the grace of God and how he pours his grace on other people, and be doing that in our own lives and pouring out God's grace and God's love on other people. It's a little early, but yeah, I'm just going to pray. God, we thank you for your grace and for your love, and that you love us continually and unconditionally, and that your grace and your mercy is unlimited, and that it's free to us. And we just thank you for who you are, and that grace and love is part of who you are, not just something that you do. We just pray for Christians and maybe non-Christians that are here. This could be encouraging, just encouraging to them. Maybe just seeing some of the struggles that I've been through and how God pours his grace out on me, and how the hand of God is continually in my life. And maybe they can just see that for themselves. And we thank you most of all for your Son, the Lord Jesus, and for his death on the cross, and how his grace covers our sin, his blood covers our sin, and that we're saved by the grace of God, and there's nothing we can do. We just pray for safety for the rest of the night. We just pray these things in Jesus' name, amen.